Hello, welcome back to RM Podcast FL. This is your podcaster, Romina, and I just want to take a moment to thank everybody that has liked the episode so far or even shared it on their social media pages. This is a self-sponsored podcast, so any comment or any references that you guys can give to your family, friends, coworkers, it would be very greatly appreciated. Well, today's episode, it's actually with somebody I used to report to. He was my unit manager before, Timothy Larson, or Tim Larson, like we all call him. Recently, he got promoted to the director of sales for Tulip Cremations. And he is still located in Jacksonville, Florida, but now he has a lot more responsibilities as he would have as a unit manager. He started in 2001 as a sales associate, the same position that I currently hold. And in 2009, Tim got promoted to a frontline manager for the National Sales Department. And later in 2015, as a unit manager. He did attend University of North Florida and received his Bachelor's of Art in Finance, and later his MBAs in University of Jacksonville. He currently does hold Six Sigma Blue Belt, and I met him about a year and a half ago when I first moved to the National Sales Center that Tim used to work at. And when I first met him, I actually requested to sit down with him and told him all about my goals and what I wanted to achieve while working as a sales associate. I told him I was going to school the same time and I would love to learn about project management, and I'd love to learn and get a more hands-on experience with sales and marketing. And I had all these ideas that I'd love to bring into the table, but I got worried after a minute thinking he's going to judge me. I literally was brand new to the whole department. But it was completely the opposite. He actually challenged me every day. He helped me connect with the project management team. He helped me get introduced to the executive leadership team at the company that we used to work at. And he always pushed me to my limits. I'm very grateful to have a leader that was a part of my life, that he is very focused on improving and helping everybody. So I am very excited about this interview, and without losing any time, let's jump right in, and I hope you guys really enjoy it. So hello everybody, this is your host Romina, and the guest for today is Tim Larson. Hi Tim.
Hello Romina, good to see you again.
How are you doing?
Not bad at all.
Awesome. So like I said on the intro, I used to actually report directly to Tim, as Tim was my unit manager. And I'm just going to try to hit some points here with Tim. He was an agent himself, the same position that I'm at right now, years back. And then slowly he got promoted to a frontline manager, a unit manager, and now director. So if you don't mind sharing it with us, how did you do it and why did you do it?
Sure, absolutely. So I'll start with the how. I don't consider myself like smarter than everybody. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I did do is that I've worked my tail off. So I've always been a hard worker, especially in college when I had to, go to school full time and work full time. My parents, specifically my dad, gave me essentially an ultimatum that if I get anything less than a B in any of my college courses, that I'd have to pay for that class myself. And
was he the one that helped you for college, or?
Yeah, well, my parents paid for my college. Mm-hmm. I was lucky enough that they were able to do that.
That's good.
But I think them, or my dad specifically, I remember the conversation because he found out some bad things that I did in high school, and he was like fed up with it, and he was like, because I was a really good student in middle school, mm-hmm. and in high school I kind of got off the rails. I was focused more on sports and
being friends. A teenager,
yeah, friends and having fun versus school. I mean, I still had pretty decent grades, but nowhere close to the grades that I had in middle school and elementary mm-hmm. school. So I was quite the disappointment to my parents during high school. And then my dad sat me down after he found out some things that I did in high school and was like, look, I'm sick of it. Mm-hmm. We're going to pay for your school and you're going to pay for your college. But if you get anything less than a B, you are paying for that class. So I was on a mission to never get anything less than a B.
Yeah.
But that involved a lot of hard work.
So he kind of did you a favor, though.
Oh, yeah.
So you were probably mad at him at first.
But... I thank him quite a bit for mm-hmm. for that. And I remember at one point, again, this is after, I was getting nothing but A's and B's in college. I was taking this really difficult class.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Dad, I don't know. This is when I was like a junior or senior and studying finance at UNF. And I was like, Dad, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get an A or a B in this class. And he's like, son, it's okay now. You know, he's like, you've changed your ways. You know, if you get a C, I understand. Because I used to like bring home my report card every day and say, Dad, look at, I don't have to pay for any classes. And he probably like forgot that we even had that conversation.
But that was stuck in your brain. I kind of stemmed that.
Yeah, but I ended up getting a B+ in that class. It was really, really difficult. It was like a security analysis, portfolio management, and a real difficult time. Understanding what the teacher was saying, but in the end, I ended up getting a B+. I remember that class; it was very difficult, but I passed. So, anyways, to answer your question,
mm-hmm.
I think working full time, going to school full time, is really what instilled that work ethic
mm-hmm.
into me, and it's really just carried over to grad school, and then. Just into my professional career so far. As far as why I do it, I'm just a motivated person. I like the win.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me absolutely sick to my stomach when I lose and I'm not
the best or being the best. I definitely know you're competitive because I reported to you. So
I'm super duper competitive. Actually, I think that comes from my mom's side because it doesn't matter what we're playing, whether we're playing cornhole or mm-hmm. a frisbee game or
used to win.
Yeah, or just volleying the ball in the pool and we're like trying to see how many times we can volley it. She's like, she has to win. So I'm glad my mom gave me those genes. My dad's a little bit more relaxed and kind of serious. So
nice. So if somebody is trying to get promoted from the level that they are right now to the next level, like you can be a manager trying to go to director or unit manager, like any level, what did you advise them to do? Like assuming that all their responsibilities are met, but what would you advise them to do on top of it to try to help them to get to the next level?
Sure. I would advise them to like separate themselves from their peers. You know, when they're... peers are complaining about something,
mm-hmm.
you know, be the one to say, hey guys, you know, we can do this, or hey guys, this isn't that bad, you know, let's try and understand the bigger picture here.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy as an agent, as a frontline manager, really at any level,
mm-hmm.
to join the group that's being negative. But the true leaders are the ones that they kind of break away from that pack
mm-hmm.
and
stand out.
Yeah, and they just stand out and they act like a leader, you know. And I think it's important that whenever you're promoting someone from one level to the next, whether it's an agent to a frontline manager, mm-hmm. frontline manager to a middle or senior manager, and so forth, that who you're selecting out of that group is truly a leader of that group.
I see. So don't just go with the flow, absolutely. Make yourself stand out.
Correct.
And not like, hey, look at me, I'm standing out, but showed by actions.
Bingo. Yeah. And we'll probably talk a lot about it more in some of your other questions, but like to me, the true leader is someone that makes everybody around them better.
And I was kind of just going to jump into the next question because, like, while as a unit manager, I always notice you pay very close attention to your leadership team and to your whole team overall. Is there anything in particular that you do different, is there anything in particular that you do different compared to others in your level? And, like, how do you create their relationship with the agents? How do you create that respect to gain it from them, because you're always respected?
Yeah, thank you. Well, I mean, you know, I was really super busy.
We would be happy company. To find 5 minutes with you. Like, you were always running.
I was crazy busy, worked long hours. No stranger to, you know, the 12-hour days. Often I would work a 12-hour day and then come home and work a few more. But I always tried to make time for my team, whether it was my managers or my agents. I always like to start the day off with walking the aisles and greeting everybody and give them a little bit of pep talk. But, and it's not always about the numbers either. It's, you know, a lot of times I would just talk to them, ask them about their kids, how their weekend was, what they've got going on for 4th of July or whatever the case may be.
Just generally have a conversation.
Yeah, and really, like, get to know them on a personal level so they don't feel anonymous. You know, I want them to feel like they're more than just a widget on an assembly line. So I like to start my day by greeting my team, and then even if they're a really long day and I just want to get, you know, walk out the side door and hop in my car and get home, I typically found a way to walk the aisles again and say goodbye to the team and you know, have a quick chat with each and every one of the agents.
Yeah.
So
you always did that. That is very true. You always did that.
Well, there were some times when I didn't, you know, and there, I had some agents that said, "Tim, you haven't walked the aisles in a couple of days." I'm like, "Oh yeah, sorry, you know, I've been crazy busy," but and then I'd get back on it. So.
No, I remember, like, I would say, because I would work the morning shift, I would say, you just tap them back, like, "Hey, good morning, you're doing okay?"
Yeah.
Or if it's, like, a Monday, or if I was off, like, the previous day, I'd be like, "Hey, you okay? Why are you off? Like, you know, everything good? Let me know if I can help." You always did that with every, and, like, I would say you're probably, like, the first leader that I've reported to that always done that, which is really, like, makes you feel appreciated as a human in your work, too. Yeah,
absolutely. So, bottom line is, I really felt that, like, one of the big things that I did different was that I really got to know my team, you know, my agents, my team managers. I made sure that they weren't anonymous to me, that I treated them like humans. And
which is very important, especially if you're working in a stressful environment.
Yeah.
Like sales.
Exactly. Honestly, one of the biggest compliments that I got was something that many people can perceive as, or many leaders can perceive as negative feedback. But, you know, I was told by leaders in the past that that I think like an agent. And to me, that's a compliment because I know that I can think strategically and I make decisions strategically that are good for the overall business. But you have to think like an agent if you're going to make decisions that are going to be better for the overall organization.
So you put yourself in their position.
Right. You just got to know how they're going to react to things and how it's going to be received, how it's going to be perceived. Because the decisions that we make at a high level, at a strategic level, if it has a negative impact to the agent, it could have a complete opposite effect on what you're actually trying to achieve as an organization.
That is true, because that's like the first contact that the customer would have. And if that baseline, it's crumbled or it's not happy, then it's the whole building. It just kind of can go down with it.
Yep, absolutely. And it's not to say that, like, every decision that you make has to be a decision that makes the agent happy. I mean, you can't have the agent running the company. But you have to consider the impact to the agent of the decisions that we make as leaders.
So do you find like the happy betweener of logical and emotional decision whenever you make the type of decision? Because a lot of people can tend to be emotional at work and just say, I don't like this new rule and I'm not happy with it. So do you try to explain the logic behind it first?
Yeah, I think it's really important that when you make a decision that is going to impact the agents, mm-hmm. that they understand the why. You know, that you don't just say, hey guys, this is what we're doing. Yeah, enjoy the change. But I think it's really important that whenever you roll out a change that's going to impact the agents, or even you know, whether it makes their lives easier or whether it makes their mm-hmm. lives more difficult, that you roll it out properly and you explain, you know, why we're making the change.
So my next question, how do you balance your work life? Like, you work a lot, you work 12-hour shifts. Most of the times you work Saturdays from home too. I've seen that happening. We would be at work on Saturday and you just IM all of us. How do you find that balance?
That's a good question, because quite frankly, I don't know if I have yet. Whenever I am not working, mm-hmm. I am like truly dedicated to my family, and I'll spend my weekends, doing nothing but playing with my kids in the pool, playing mm-hmm. video games with the kids, running around. There's enough kind of all my friends now, we all have kids and stuff, so there's enough birthdays celebrations and events for me to still get my friend time. Mm-hmm. For example, this Saturday we have a surprise party for one of my friend's wife's 40th birthday party, so that's this evening. So we'll eventually get around to hanging out with my friends, just because of the different events that are going on. But whenever there's not an event going on, it's focused on the family time.
Family time.
Yeah.
And they're adorable.
Oh, thank you.
They are really cute.
Yeah, I've got a pretty amazing family for them to put up with me over the years, and my long hours and the stress that you go through and all that kind of stuff. So I love them for sure.
So while on a leadership position, what skills or traits have you seen successful people have? Like, you can kind of point out people from certain traits sometimes.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it earlier, but to me, like, the mark of a true leader is I call it, I'm a Gator fan, and okay. I call it the Tim Tebow effect. a Patriot fan, they call it the Tom Brady effect. Uh-huh. But they have that, like, uncanny ability mm-hmm. to make everybody around them better. And to me, that's what a true leader does. You know, they like, even as an agent, you know, you can have those agents that you put, no matter where you put them, everybody around them all of a sudden gets better. You know?
I see.
And to me, that's a true leader. Because it's really easy to just kind of sit in your cubicle and just mm-hmm. focus on yourself and make sure that you're meeting your numbers and that you're doing well and that you're on top of the charts. But a true leader just cannot help themselves. That they must help other people, and they must make other people better. And to me, that's what a true leader does.
So selfless, absolutely, to help everybody.
They just have that like desire that they have to. They can't help themselves, but they have to help people. You know, and they have to.
If they don't see something right, they will like go out there and
even
help.
Like in a competitive situation, like what we had at ADT, where you had competitive shift bidding mm-hmm. and you had competitive a competitive commission plan, where mm-hmm. the higher you're ranked, the more money you're going to make. But a true leader, they put all that aside and they're going to help everybody get better, which in turn kind of makes their life a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
But they just cannot, it's in them that they just cannot help themselves but to help other people.
Well, it turns into like a healthy competition too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you can be competitive, but if it's a healthy competition, you're going to push me to do better. And if I teach you one thing, you're going to do better. So now I have to push myself for better. Yeah. So
there's actually studies that say that competition actually creates more teamwork.
Yeah. You know?
But I think in those studies, you just need to make sure that you have the right people.
Yeah.
So I think if you don't have the right people and you create a competitive situation, then you won't see the teamwork. But if you have leaders in that population, then you'll certainly see more teamwork, or that competition create more teamwork.
That is very true. So regarding business wise, now we used to work sales. Like, I was a sales agent when I reported to you. You work sales right now. You've been in the sales world for a while. How important do you find ethical decisions when it comes to sales? Because a lot of people, when they think sales, they just think of pushy people, or then think of people that lie to you just to get a sale, which that's not the case in here at all towards where we work at or the sales that I've worked. How important do you think it's ethics in business, and which can you say to change the mentality of those people when it comes to sales?
So I think ethics is everything when it comes to sales. To me, just me personally, my philosophy is like, and all my team managers will tell you this, is that I want to always win the right way. I want to be able to go to sleep at night and know that I won because we won the right way. I know, I'll give you another example. Like, I played softball, and we know that there's teams that do what they call bat shaving. So they'll take the top off of a bat, shave the middle, put the top back on, and then that makes the bat more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's illegal in softball, but teams do it because it gives them an edge. And there's so many times it has come up in our team, like, guys, should we shave the bats? And it's always me saying, guys, no, I do not want to shave the bat, because I really wouldn't even feel like I won.
Yeah.
Like, if you cheat to win, you really didn't win. And that's just kind of my mentality. And I want to win. That's the competitor in me. But I'm not really winning if I had to cheat to do it.
So you'll embrace losing too?
Yeah, I wouldn't say embrace it. I would rather lose but keep my integrity than win and have to cheat to do it.
That is true. Like, as long as something doesn't touch your integrity, it just makes you feel more peaceful. And, you know, nothing is going to come back, like, tomorrow or a year later, and you're going to get caught. Because you can always have that little demon in you. It's like, what if this happens?
Exactly.
So what is your next big goal? I know you have a lot of changes in your life this year. But what's your next big goal, like your 5 or 10 year goal?
You're right. So I would say, like, immediate, like right now, I'm kind of new to the director world.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to be the best possible director that I can be. And then really, 5 years from now, maybe even sooner, I'd like to be at the VP level. So that's the goal. I'm going to continue to work hard and make that happen.
5 years, that's more than reachable. I would say hopefully, years for you.
Yeah, hopefully sooner.
Okay, and then what wakes you up in the morning? Like, what gets you energized? What gets you fueled?
Yeah, so I love working in sales because
it's never
like
the same day.
Right, it's almost like a sporting event every day. Like, okay, we've got a game today. What's the game? We've got to make sales. You know,
it's so, never the same story.
Right, yeah, and I'm a big sports guy. I used to play, football in high school. And I love to watch sports. Love to play sports, and super competitive. So to me, like, what wakes me up in the morning is winning. You know, that's what I want to do is win. And what's cool about sales is, again, every day is it's a new game, and we play 365 games a year, and I want to win every game.
What sales techniques would you say it's your best technique that helps you? Because everybody has their own little thing.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think it's yours?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think like there's just like one like go-to sales technique. I mean, I think
one or two that you would point out more.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important that you're getting to know the customer, mm-hmm. and you're building that trust.
So CPR and creating that personal relationship.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just think like if you want someone to give you their credit card, especially in inside sales, mm-hmm. you know, if you want someone to give you their credit card over the phone, you've really got to build that trust, and then you got to use that trust to build value. So, you know, whether you are the low cost solution or the most expensive solution, it's really critical to build that value. I've worked for companies where we have been the low cost solution, and then because you're priced so competitively, they're like, what am I missing? What am I not getting?
Yeah.
So you've got to like talk about, hey, we're cheaper or more affordable,
yeah.
because we have developed a better way of doing it, but you're not going to sacrifice anything. When you're more expensive, you have to justify that price gap. So you have to make sure that you're injecting value at every mm-hmm. possible opportunity of your sales call.
I remember, I think I read on a Zig Ziglar's book, it said the best sales agent is a baby, because the baby will cry and you always will fit him. And that's what the baby wants. So he'll always close a deal.
Yeah.
I remember, I think it was in a Zig Ziglar's book. when I read that, I was like, this is kind of awesome. Because yeah. that is so true.
Yep, that's
he said, that's the best negotiation. The baby will always get what he wants.
Yep, that's Zig Ziglar. He knows a lot about sales, that's for sure.
My very last question, I'm always intrigued by the answer of this. What is your personal definition of success?
My personal definition of success is really just being the best that you can be every single day of your life. I know we cannot be the best that we could possibly be every day of our life,
mm-hmm.
but at least, you know, putting forth that effort and achieving your goals. You know, not everybody has the same goals. You know, I, for example, I don't really have a desire to like start my own business, mm-hmm. and that's just not, you know,
that's not you.
Yeah, it's not a goal of mine, but I have some professional goals that I would like to achieve and I'm going to take actionable steps to get there.
I'm kind of glad you brought that up, because a lot of people feel like they'll be accomplished if they have their own small business or if they're running a corporation. Mm-hmm. But you don't necessarily need to be a business owner to be successful. Like, everybody has different goals, like right. you said. Because yeah. a lot of people just wants to be entrepreneurs. And
right.
I think it's funny, like, you drop out of school and you be an entrepreneur, be like, okay, but who's going to do your accounting? Do you know how to do your taxes? Like,
exactly. Yeah, I don't think you have to be an entrepreneur to be considered successful. There's plenty of successful people that work, you know, for the government.
Yeah.
Plenty of successful people that work for Fortune 500 companies, obviously. So I don't think just being an entrepreneur is like the definition of being
the two-goal life goal.
Right, exactly.
Well, I definitely got to know you more, and I'm glad your dad pushed you to get A's.
Yeah, thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad. I probably met at first, but now he's like, thank you, Dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there any last thing that you'd like to add to the podcast, since this is a podcast, a new one out there, and now just my goal is for every listener to learn at least one new thing every time they listen to us. Any last minute thing you would like to add to them? Besides yeah. follow me and listen
yeah,
to more.
Yeah. I would just say, you know, like, give it your best every day. You know, don't go home from work or school or mm-hmm. you know, wherever you know, spend most of your time and think that and with that feeling that you could have done more. You know, push yourself every day to study as hard as you can, to learn as much as you can, to work as hard as you can, and every day you'll feel fulfilled.
So you don't live like with regrets.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, I definitely want to thank you so much for taking your time. I know you have a lot more to do today.
Yeah.